NBA and Adam Silver has done an amazing job.
Reverse layup is good.
What a shot.
Breakaway flush for Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, this is been a Kumbo.
Oh my goodness. Michael Porter Jr. has been a good bright spot early.
Thornwell saves it for Jackson Hayes. Right through the five hole.
That's that sixth sense ability there. Rudy with the put back.
Oh, some power at the iron.
Robin Lopez.
60.
JaVale McGee with the three.
Oh, JaVale!
On the three from McGee.
You know, it looks different and it sounds different, but it's still basketball, and it's so good to have it back. Welcome to The Jump. I'm Rachel Nichols inside the NBA bubble here at Walt Disney World, and I am joined today by ESPN senior NBA writer Zach Lowe and NBA champion Richard Jefferson. Normally I call you other names, Richard, but that's really the best one. Can't argue with that. Coming up, Zion is expected to rejoin the Pelicans after he clears quarantine today. How much does his return change the race for eighth out west? Stick around to find out, because we will discuss. First, though, Anthony Davis did not participate in Lakers practice today after getting poked in the right eye during the Lakers' last scrimmage. Yeah, that's him in the shades there on the sidelines. Lakers officially restart the season on Thursday night against the Clippers, and Frank Vogel had this to say about AD's status. Take a listen.
Well, Anthony is did not practice today. He's still dealing with some discomfort in his eye, and he's just continues to be day-to-day. So we'll see how he feels tomorrow. He's still dealing with discomfort. You know, there is some concern that he could potentially not play Thursday, but we're hopeful that he does, and we'll see how that plays out. You know, he's going to continue to be evaluated each day.
Oh, look, it's our old friend, Operation Guy. Yep, AD not the only big name to suffer an injury down here inside the bubble. Rajon Rondo, remember, broke his thumb during one of the Lakers' first practices. Joel Embiid dealing with calf tightness. You can see Damian Lillard's left foot down there. He's had that ailing, and Fred VanVleet's knee, Aaron Gordon's groin. Look at this poor Operation Man. The list goes on and on. Richard, you hear the music? How concerned are you about the injuries that are piling up here?
No, I'm not concerned. This is expected. Obviously, there's probably a few of these that are precautionary, just to make sure, guys, these games don't really mean too much as far other than tuning up. But ultimately, whenever you have this very unique layoff, and then all of a sudden players are revving back up, not over the course of a month, but over the course of a couple of weeks, and into a spot where they're playing for a championship and trying to make the playoffs, and you're going to have guys playing 40 minutes. That's just a recipe for more injuries. I won't say disaster, but for more injuries.
Yeah, I can tell you the sports science people I know around the league were more worried about that than players contracting the coronavirus. Just 4 months off rapid ramp up, and none of these injuries appear to be serious, but when I hear calf, I hear groin, that stuff makes me a little bit nervous, because those are the kind of soft tissue strain, tear injuries that the trainers are really, really worried about. So fingers crossed, none of these appear to be serious, but this was a big worry, like RJ said.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, I talked to Jamal Murray from the Nuggets the other day, and he's just had a little bit of tightness in his hamstring, and that is why they were keeping him off the court, because, you know, you have a full-blown hamstring injury that'll pretty much knock him out the rest of the way here. When you're an athlete, how much do you know your body when you feel those first twinges that you can prevent a more serious injury, or is there sometimes just nothing you can do?
Well, there's nothing that you can do in this space, because this is so unique. This is uncharted territory for everyone, really, in sports history. Luckily, this is going on in a time and in an era where they have multiple trainers. They have more sports science. When I first came into the league, there was maybe one massage therapist. There might have been one trainer, and then an assistant trainer was the equipment manager also. So that's when the jokes of rookies better not ever get on the table, because you had one guy that was trying to make sure 15 people are together. Now you have teams of 10, 12 different sports science like trainers. So that's going to help the players get into a position, whether it's massages, stretches, all the things necessary for them to be successful.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not a doctor, but neither is the assistant equipment manager. So that's not
that's what used to happen. That's what we had.
That's not good. All right, guys, coming up, we've got highlights of the Grizzlies heat scrimmage that's currently going on, so stay tuned for that. You can keep it locked for a few insane Ja Morant alley-oops. First, though, we are only 2 days away, I can't believe I get to say this, from the resumption of the NBA regular season. We've been counting down the days by showing you the top plays of the season so far, and now, since we're 2 days away, here's number two, and let's throw a little Ja Morant up there, too. Let's go.
You don't want to give up any scores, but you live with the two-point skill. Morant with a running start. Elevate! Oh, it dunks! Oh, my goodness! Ja Morant with elevation! Come get some Aaron Baines! Man, they're going to show this over and over and over again. This is fading away from the basket. He gets pushed, run over, run into, still has enough to put it down.
Welcome back to the Jump. We're going to check out some highlights from the Grizzly Heat scrimmage that's going on right now. Jimmy Butler finding Bam Adebayo for the bucket. Welcome back to Bam. That was his first game inside the bubble. And this from a little later. Ja Morant throwing down two amazing alley-oops. This kid has not missed a step. So those are from before. We're going to live look into this game now. Zach, while we get that up on the screen, what are your expectations for the Heat this postseason?
Well, first of all, the world deserves the Jimmy Butler revenge series against Philly. That's what the world deserves. Second of all, the Heat kind of profile is almost one of the least exciting teams in the East in terms of upside, but they gave Philly fits with his own defense, and if they ever get Milwaukee, they were 2-0 against Milwaukee. Bam defended Giannis very well, so they have some matchup-specific advantages, and I'm excited to see how they fit in Andre Iguodala. Like, we barely got to see that.
Yeah, no, I'm excited because for such a large portion of the season, Miami Heat fans were like, why aren't you talking about the Heat? It's because they didn't have enough veterans on their team. And every time the Miami Heat fans would criticize us for not talking about them, we were like, the reason why you guys aren't favorites is because you don't have enough depth and veterans. So what did Pat Riley, one of the great basketball minds, go do? He went and got Andre Iguodala. He went and got Jay Crowder. Then you add that to the layoff, and it allows those young players like Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero to rest a little bit. Now I think the Miami Heat are in a position to make a ton of noise because of the additions and because of the layoffs.
You talk to them down here in the bubble, and I'm telling you, they feel like they are the most built for this team of any of the teams down there. Jimmy Butler keeps saying, this is going to be a mental slog, a mental challenge, and he's like, who's more up for that than us? So I love watching them play, and this is a fun little game here going on, even though it's just a scrimmage. I do want to switch gears, though, over to the Oklahoma City Thunder. They might be the biggest surprise team out West this season, and we want to get you caught up on their journey to the bubble. Oh, yes. It's time for another installment of the Jumps previously on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chris Paul got a little fancy in OKC's win last night. Jumps, do you think CP3 takes his coffee with a little nutmeg?
I like it. Sometimes that's just the best way to get where you're going.
Is it, though?
Yeah, it is.
Even when rebuilds are smart, they're not usually a lot of fun.
If you talked to some of the experts beforehand, no one would have believed you guys would be here.
I expected our record to be better.
Steven Adams! Take in all 7 feet of splendor there. Last night was, in fact, only the third time he has put on a real pair of pants since the year 2013.
Why doesn't he just throw the shoe?
He's trying to put it back on. He
just
thinks he can get
shoe.
It back with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
Oh, yeah.
The second-year player dropped 20, 20, and 10.
20, 20, and 10?
That's so tough, bro.
20, 20, 20 next, you know what I'm saying?
Man, he's so smooth, man. I loved him with the Clippers last year.
If you hear Doc talk last year, he was the one player he really didn't want to give away.
Yeah. Personally, it's been fun because I beat Chris in every shooting drill.
He's the big brother and I'm the little brother, but that's just because he's taller than me.
Chris catches an untucked jersey violation.
Sometimes refs just be like, whatever, but that is the rule.
How do we feel?
I love it. Chris is a by any means necessary competitor.
Absolutely.
I'm all for Chris's shenanigans. Put your jersey in, know the rules.
such a fun season for the Thunder. I'm still most impressed by Steven Adams putting on pants for only the third time in nearly a decade. But, you know, you could also look at the fact that they have been so dominant in clutch time. When the last 5 minutes of the game are going, the score is within five. Oklahoma City is 29-13 in games that go to clutch time with the league's best offensive efficiency. It's pretty impressive. Richard, how dangerous do you think this Oklahoma City team is now that we're down here?
I think they're very, very built for this. What's so funny is I did the Oklahoma City versus Nets game, and so much of this basketball analytics are give up that mid-range shot. They don't want to give up threes. They don't want to give up layups. Well, Chris Paul carved them apart with mid-range free throw jumpers. That's his little shot. So when I look at what he's able to do, how he can direct this team, and the shots that so many teams are giving up, he masters them. So when you get to crunch time, and that's why they're so good in crunch, they don't want to give up threes, you don't want to give up layups, but Chris Paul has an amazing in-between game, floaters, creates. So I love Chris Paul at the helm of this team, and he has been such a great leader to these young players. That's why I believe they are where they are.
I think they're really dangerous. They're one of the best clutch teams I've ever seen in the NBA. And Chris Paul is one of the greatest clutch players in the history of the NBA. His team's always outperforming the clutch. I do think those clutch stats get at one little thing that nags at me, which is I don't think this team has another gear to get to in the postseason. That's not a bad thing. They're already really good, but I think they kind of maximized what they have. That said, they're dangerous because they're tough as hell. They play good defense. And to RJ's point, they know exactly who they are. They have an identity, they're comfortable with it, and they will not beat themselves.
Yeah, I love that they're playing without any expectations. They should just go be who they are. And you know, I think with this team, the possibility of making some noise in the postseason means so much to Chris Paul after the way that trade went down. I expect to see him being very determined. I love those mid-range jumpers from him because I always say I understand that three is more than two, but guys, two is more than zero, and that is what he puts in over and over again. All right, I want to get to what the Jump recommends for today because it's you, Zach Lowe. We're recommending you. You shared your all-NBA team selections on ESPN.com and the app. Ballots are due today, so head on over now to see if your picks line up with Zach for all of his awards. And now it's time for a little bit more taste of what life is like in the bubble. Take a look at this. You know all the stories you've been seeing about what goes on in the NBA bubble? Well, everything you've heard about being here has to get here. They have a giant shipping center. Guys have had all the creature comforts shipped in to make them feel like they're at home. There's been a couch that's come through here, wine coolers. Udonis Haslam from The Heat says that he's had $5,000 in Amazon orders come here. This is thousands of boxes a day. We're gonna go check out how they do it.
Okay.
It's here, yay. All right, so what do you do with these?
So first, put it over here, give it a wipe down.
So what are some of the strangest things you guys have had here? Because this is just a tiny box for me of a couple little extras. I ordered myself a mug for coffee because we don't have those here. But you've gotten a lot bigger stuff come through here, right?
Let's see, we had a refrigerator.
Someone ordered a full refrigerator.
Normal size refrigerator where basically the crushed ice on the other side, mm-hmm. and then you got the freezer at the bottom. That one from the hotel where
right.
it's a little mini fridges.
So. Right.
Full-size refrigerator, big punching bag that they can't hang. They just want it on the wall in the room so they could just tackle it or whatever.
That's amazing. I saw full-size arcade video games in there.
Oh, yeah. Video games, you name it, they got it. Weights, everything.
All right, we're going to take a little tour. Thank you so much. And I'll go pick up my package in a few minutes after it's been, bleached off, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. My coffee mug. I'm excited for my coffee mug. So one of the safety protocols in the bubble is that everything gets wiped down and disinfected all the time. And to do that, you need a lot of Clorox wipes. We got some NBA Jam here, several full-size arcade game setups. These just got unpacked, so if anyone wants to play shuffleboard, these are gonna get distributed around campus soon. And behind me in one of these boxes is also a set for a putting green. Here's some NBA branded pillows. They wanted to create comfortable players' lounges here, but to do that, you gotta ship in the stuff that gets it there. And if you have a chess habit, don't worry, they've got you covered here in shipping. They're gonna distribute these out soon. One of the activities around campus is Connect Four, but they wanted to do it life-size so that you could be socially distant and play it outdoors. That's gotta get shipped in. And then all of these weights are gonna go in the arena locker rooms because again, they don't belong here, they gotta get shipped in. So each team has an area in here where they put the big packages, the things that they get shipped for the whole team. And every team has water and sports drinks, but every team has a different kind they like or that they're contracted through a sponsor. So here you go with the Clippers. They get all their stuff. Packages for everyone get individualized under their name, letter, initials. Hundreds and hundreds of boxes every hour go through this giant room. They take a little lunch break and then they start all over again. It's quite the operation. Thursday, two more WNBA games for you on ESPN and the app. The Storm take on the Mystics at 6 Eastern, and it's the Sun and Sparks at 10 Eastern from the Wubble in Bradenton, Florida. And it's crunch time here on The Jump. Kyrie Irving, shouts to him, committing $1.5 million to supplement the income of WNBA players who choose not to play this season. That includes players who sit out for health reasons, like Elena Deladon, or social justice reasons, like Natasha Cloud. Richard, what does it mean to see an NBA player supporting WNBA colleagues like
that? Well, we're all a family. We're all a group, first of all, when it comes to basketball, and then secondly, just a part of our community. That's so important. And I love Kyrie for this because he is basically donating $1.5 million to help fight social injustice.
It's an incredible, it's incredible. There's no other way to say it. It's an incredible gesture. It's incredibly generous, and it's wonderful.
Well, you know what? When he was so vocal during the shutdown and people said, why doesn't he put his money where his mouth is? Guess what? He just did. All right, we got another nice game from Bol Bol yesterday. 10 points in 19 minutes in the Nuggets' final scrimmage. He's averaged 13, 6 boards, and 3 blocks while he's in Orlando, Zach. So how much Bol Bol do you think we're going to see going forward?
When the Nuggets get healthy, none. I'm sorry to spoil the party, but this is exciting. I mean, look, you can't. Every game is a data point. Every game teaches you something. And these games are like, this guy can play.
Yeah. Look, I covered him at Oregon, and they were very, very excited before his early injury. Then he was a top 5 pick, dropped all the way down. The Nuggets won when they got Michael Porter Jr., so they had no problem taking another risk in Bol Bol, and they scored. They scored twice with both players. Great job by the Denver Nuggets organization.
Yeah, I want to see him a little bit. Zach, I hope you're wrong just a little bit. All right, let's talk a little Zion Williamson. Scheduled to be released from quarantine today once he gets his 4th negative test result back since returning to the bubble. Remember, the Pelicans play their first game on Thursday. In fact, they are the NBA's entire first game. They are the tip-off to the restart. So, Richard, does Zion coming back, being back in time to play in that first game, does this start to give the edge to New Orleans or change the equation for the 8th seed?
No,
out here?
I don't. I still think that they have a lot to accomplish. No one on this team, J.J. Redick, Derek Fisher, they have fought to get to that spot. But you need your leaders to be there, and that's why I can't bet against Dame. They got Nurkic back. They're healthy. They're rested. I really like, and Portland has the lead. That means that that New Orleans has zero room for error.
The Grizzlies have the lead,
well,
RJ.
I'm talking about to get to the play-in game.
Yeah, don't disrespect the Memphis Grizzlies, the incumbent seed.
No.
The math says they have the best chance to make the playoffs. But I will say New Orleans, with that schedule, if they're healthy, they are very, very dangerous. They have a much easier schedule than Portland. Portland has that weird percentage point advantage because they played a couple more games. But New Orleans is legit when they're healthy, and they're very, very dangerous.
Yeah. And I was asking the guys on the, on the Pelicans if Zion coming in and out, if that would bother them at all. And they said, look, it's been like that all season, so we expect to just pick it up. Here's a live look real quick, guys, at Raptors Suns. That scrimmage is also currently in progress. And while we're watching the video, Richard, How do you feel about the Raptors' chances of getting back to the finals?
I like the Raptors getting back. They're a very, very good team. I still think that they're missing just one more player. Again, he's now playing for the Clippers, but I think they have a ton of talent. I love Pascal. I love their entire group. Kyle Lowry, they're well coached. They're going to be a very, very tough out. I just can't see them getting past the conference finals again.
Unless my pet team, the Sixers, really, really gets it together and the Shake Milton thing kind of looks like it might work, I still think Toronto is the biggest threat to the Bucks in the East. Toronto's severely underrated.
Nah,
they're just
Boston.
Flat out really, really good.
Boston.
I think they're a little better than Boston. They're really, really good. Every player they have is a really good defensive player. They're just a legitimately good team.
I'm so fascinated to see how that works out. Raptors obviously having that experience. Richard, you went to several finals even before you won. The fact that the Raptors have been in a conference finals or a finals, do you think that'll play into things if they say go against the Celtics in an early playoff round?
1,000%. They still believe, and they are the defending champions. And on top of it, you guys got guys that have won D-League championship. And so they have guys that have been successful for multiple years, right, on multiple levels. So they're an extremely confident group, and they're going to be a tough out.
Don't sleep on Toronto.
Don't sleep on them. I love Canada.
Jump us back to